This is Pharaoh's House.
This podisode was sponsored by listeners Raymond Koch and Patreon patron Michelle McFarren. What's in a dream? Dreams, what do they mean to you? Are they visuals presented in your so-called mind for your personal pleasure, personal terror, personal edification, personal confusion? Or are they the sum of all your experiences from past to present and potential? The answer is yes to each option. Now, ponder your breathing. Is your breathing autonomic or automatic? Meaning, can it be controlled or limited intentionally? If you answered it's autonomic, as in not within your control at all, then how do you explain speaking or holding your breath at will? Breathing is an automatic function in that while it happens without conscious efforts, we still do regulate it when able to do so. Regardless, if we choose to control it or ignore it, breathing is a vital function for life that we should be optimizing all the time. Now, replace the word breathing with the word dreaming. Do you think of dreaming also as a vital function for life? You're partially correct if you said, yes, it is, and here's why. Dreaming is not only vital function for this life, dreaming is also vital for the entrance into realms beyond these worlds, or rather, this world. So many complete this existence incompletely, never knowing, never realizing those requisite facets of their journey, including, most importantly, dream language. Learning and knowing dream language is like removing a blindfold well before falling off or walking off a steep cliff. Every living being needs to breathe in some capacity. When you breathe, do you want to breathe with purpose and power, or do you want to passively respire? When you dream, are you a passive bystander watching a foreign language movie minus subtitles, or are you both an active participant and also a self-aware observer? Sometimes you are each of these. You start somewhere. You crawl before walking. So watch those foreign movies for now, but know that you will not only know your dreams, you will also become the architect of your dreams. Finally, I want to know if any of you listening recall the replacement word I suggested for dreams a few years ago. Then I recommended inner visions. It sounded like a suitable replacement for the word dreams. What word other than dream sounds more fitting to you? Share it, and perhaps we can make it part of the lexicon. Be creatively logical with your words. Leave a comment, send an email, or use the call-in number to share your ideas for a word other than dreams. The call-in number is 714-947-3663. It is defined as focused determination to continue despite all odds. There are many odds that we face, often on a daily basis. You can see these as tests, or you can see these trials as parasitic efforts from forces of illness, envy, arrogance, lies, or just plain chaos. There are constructive forces of will and destructive forces that try to test true will, but true will is what powers life itself. When you contemplate the language of pain, for example, as it speaks, you should also realize that your true will is always within. It permeates your core, and when it radiates towards originator creator, it overcomes all adversity and all adversaries. You just need to know how to listen. Humble your restless heart to sense what your own connections are saying. This is how repair begins. This is how chaos is quieted. Strengthen your true will through thoughts, deeds, and actions. True will is never chaotic, envious, mendacious, nor arrogant. These are the weak, nefarious energies which endeavor to become true will, to graft on to life, but they are damned from the start. A so-called illness that affects the physical and/or mental spiritual aspects of you can present itself in a variety of forms. They can even appear through people. These so-called chaotic illnesses are never original. These forces can only copy or use source from a host. For this reason, it benefits you to separate true will from chaos, which often uses various tactics to reveal itself, such as a so-called physical ailment or mental spiritual ambush. Chaos doesn't only attempt to graft itself onto your true will through physical pain or mental stress. It also tries to usurp your logic and your wise decision-making abilities, often through your emotions. This has happened in the past, but no longer. True will eliminates all confusion and harms nothing directly nor indirectly that did not endeavor to harm you. Therefore, such elements as illnesses and arrogantly wicked minds bear no effects. To all kindred souls, I say unto you, be wise and vigilant without ceasing. Respect, protect, and strengthen that originator creator given true will. Will. Each day after you emerge from re-energizing, that's what you formally call sleep or rest. Each day after you emerge from re-energizing, are you thankful? Despite what happened hours before or what awaits you in the moments or hours ahead, are you thankful? Thankful to the one that made this amazing journey. Thankful for the mental capacity to think critically, analytically, and logically. Thankful for the ability to problem solve and the humbleness to seek wise counsel. Thankful for clear insight in decision making. Thankful for strength of unending patience that withstands the challenges of time. To the originator creator of all, we humbly resonate our true gratitude. And now for my holistic health tip for this episode. Endometriosis, or endo for short, is an extremely painful disorder that affects people who menstruate. Researchers in the USA estimate that 1 to 3 in 10 women experience endo in some form. Endo is not to be confused with menstrual cramping. Endometriosis could be considered a misnomer because what was once considered the cause, inflamed endometrium, aka endometrium tissue or endometrial tissue outside the uterus, is actually a molecular diversion and not true endometrium at all. Endometrium is the normal inner lining of the uterus that responds to monthly hormone fluctuations and then sheds once a month as a so-called period. Refer to my past podcasts on doppelganger cell formation within the vessel or body. Hormonal imbalances, primarily with the estrogen hormone estradiol, a primary estrogen, is the most potent of the three estrogens, especially during a woman's fertile years between 18 and 35. So-called modern medicine cites a variety of potential causes for endo. In other words, so-called modern medicine does not know the cause. From my analysis, this disorder appears to be both spiritual or mental and physical, in that it occurs in women within their childbearing years who live in toxic environments. Pollutants in air, water, food, primarily plastics and heavy metals, commingled with societal stressors, incite the abnormal growth and sometimes spread of these doppelganger endo cells. Yes, endo can spread to other areas of a woman's vessel, even into the diaphragm and lungs. To be brief, endo occurs because the so-called womb was designed to accommodate creation energy after receiving life force, aka sperm. When the vessel housing the womb is under attack, these doppelganger cells or inflammatory endometrial cells form as a protective reaction in some women. What I term doppelganger cells can occur in both genders under certain conditions. So how do we prevent endo from happening in the first place? To prevent endo, we would have to address how people raise their girls. Prevention includes focusing on spiritual, mental, emotional development, as well as wholesome diet. To reverse endo, if you have been enduring it for years or have just been diagnosed with it, you still have to address the environmental stressors you are exposed to daily, as well as your nutrition. Obviously, we would have to address larger issues, such as the toxins released into our environment, which affect us all. Environmental pollutants are not going away until we progress. In the meantime, periodic vessel cleansing and fasting are key to the reversal and repair of endo. So, in the next podcast, part two of this holistic health tip on reversal and repair of endometriosis. Now for my answers to your email questions and inquiries. The first email comes from an anonymous listener who goes under the email dcordo or dcordo. And they wrote, I was disheartened to read that O negative and A negative are not souls. And for A positive, I'm not sure if they have souls either. Can these people upgrade? I would appreciate any insight you could provide. Someone close to me is A negative and I am A positive. Does this mean we cannot become souls? What about O negative? And then they end their email there. Well, greetings to you, Anonymous, or DC Ordo, or D Cordo. Where did you read this O negative and A negative not being soul bearers? Be careful of the fruit that you pick from. Sometimes it can be poisonous and toxic from a plagiarizer or who knows what. So just be careful. In any case, here's a scenario for you to ponder. If an O negative person got a bone marrow transplant from an O positive donor and subsequently the recipient's blood type changed to O positive, does that mean that they now are a soul bearer? What if a severe infection temporarily altered their blood into O positive? Would that turn them into a temporary soul bearer? Think about these things for a second. This is reminiscent and has semblances to the one drop rule of the so-called 1800s that was imposed in or on the continent of North America regarding the Aboriginal Indian, my people. So when you think about that for a second, contemplate what you had asked. And so the answer is no. A soul comes from the originator creator of all, just as spirits do. The design and plan for who is a soul bearer and who is not logically resides within the power of the originator creator. So yes, we have access to vast amounts of information. We have access to even ancient books, and those can be helpful, reputable resources. But often, what is required is uncluttered, focused thinking and humbleness of emotions, which can help you discern fact and truth from fiction. There is a balance to every aspect of reality. When one thing that is supposed to be small or large exceeds its natural limits, the default failsafe kicks in and returns things to balance again, like every vessel or body seeks to maintain homeostasis of all functions. For you to be what you are not designed to be violates master plan. You asked whether you could, quote, upgrade to a soul bearer, unquote, if you were a spirit body. That's like the moon wanting to be the sun. The moon has function and purpose, just as the sun has its unique function and purpose. As far as I can observe, neither desires to be the other. Keep this in your inner workings. The originator creator decides who has or is a soul and who is not. Can souls and spirits be compromised? Focused, intelligent logic should tell us, yes, they can be, as a result of many things that people do to themselves and one another, or to the elements around us and in us. This is a learning and growing place. We partake of knowledge like fruit, but be wise in their fruit selection that you take, always. And thanks for your question. The next question is from J.M. Hyde. And J.M. Hyde writes, "Greetings, Pharaoh. How do I know whether or not a certain area of land is designed for me? Where am I supposed to be? I reside in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Thank you." Greetings to you, J.M. Hyde. If you are not autochthonous to the land, then that answers both questions. And speaking of soul bearers and spirit bodies, both have the ability to adapt to change. However, the climes and biomes of this plane do not adapt to people. So you can thank your ancestors for putting you in a fish out of water situation when it comes to the land on which you stand. The sentient beings or people who violate venues alien to themselves, they must impose artificial terraforming or acclimatize the flora or receive help from the autochthonous populations or breed and graft or try to onto those populations in order to be accepted by the land. These adaptive measures work for a time, but they are temporary. But this style of adaption is like a transplanted organ adapting to a host body through the help of immunosuppressant drugs. There was an ad, a TV ad in the 1970s that used the tagline, "It's not nice to fool Mother Nature." Well, to be accurate and true, it's not right to try to defile that which the originator creator programmed into nature, especially by violating covenants between autochthonous and the land. If you have been living by the rules of the so-called black-white color status game, then it's time for you to step off the checkerboard floor, or rather the vortex game board, and delve into your true genealogy in order to uncover from whence your people came. And no, I'm not referring to a DNA scam test in order to discover the actual land origins of your people and what land you resonate best with. As an aside, I recommend that when you delve into your familial past, that you do not stop at the second or third or fourth or even fifth places. You dig deeper than that and be prepared for truth. You never know, perhaps you do resonate with the place you said you were from. And thanks for your question, J.M. Hyde. The next question is from Emily. Emily writes, "Hi, Pharaoh. I have so much to ask you, but I'll shorten my questions into just a few. The first is, can you tell me whether I should join a community or somehow build one? Where I live, the lost souls outnumber the aware ones. How will I know if a community is real and not some doomsday cult? Do you think I should just buy some land for me, my immediate family, and few friends? If so, do you have any recommendation for places? Lastly, I want to expand my healing arts skills. Can you recommend a few good guidebooks or online programs? Thank you in advance for your guidance. Signed, Emily." Greetings to you, Emily. If that is your shortened list of questions, I can only imagine what your longer list reads like. But don't fret. You can always email those additional questions or even call the call-in line with those questions. Listen for the call-in line number after this segment. Now, should you join a community or build one? That depends on you and whether you join one or create one from the ground up. Aren't you still building? When we are productive, constructive, we constantly build, whether building something physical or adding to our knowledge or skills. My people spoke in parable. Those of us who know that tradition, we still do. We speak this way to impart wisdom to seekers and to protect our words from wicked characters who seek to bring chaos. In light of that, be wise if you seek to join a pre-existing community. Ask questions, investigate, test the spirit, test the waters, figuratively and literally. This will tell you if a so-called community is, as you stated, a doomsday cult or something just as egregious. So-called communities like that often have a hefty cover charge, like a country club. There is a past podisode with a segment on what are the attributes of true community. Give that a listen. Anyway, should you buy land for you and those closest to you? From this question, it sounds like you probably feel more at ease with this option when it comes to starting a community.
Communal living is nothing new, but you'll notice that communal living lasts longest on land where the people are aboriginal to it, and where there is reciprocity in respect, and the people are righteous in mind and in code. In the long run, whether you choose to be the foundation of a community that you and perhaps a few others initiate, or you choose to become part of a pre-existing community, be wise in your decision-making. Remember where you are, where we all are. This is an imposed empire. It has rules, policies, and regulations with loopholes. Learn the language of those so that you and your community can have some protections. Above all, be sure in your skill set, strong in your security, and righteous in your vessel. Do I have recommendations for various places for where to buy land? Once again, replay this podisode or rewind and listen to my answer to the person called J.M. Hyde. And congratulations to you for wanting to expand your healing arts knowledge. Depending on your budget, your location, and immediate objective, I suggest you start with self-edification, and a good source would be infobooks.org. They have a great source or a decent source of books that you should read for self-edification. You can also choose the formal schooling route, but as you know, that comes with costs. If you can afford those costs, or you have a scholarship, and you have devised an organized plan, then do it. If you are not already subscribed to my website, please do so. I have a growing list of holistic health books that you can download. I'll post the link to infobooks.org in the details or description for this audio. And thanks, Emily, for your question. Special mention once again to this podisode's sponsors, Michelle McFarren and Raymond Koch. Sponsor a podisode and I'll tell the world about it. Your sponsorship contributions help with website hosting and with the animal rescue work and other efforts that I do. Also, thanks to all Patreon patrons and to all PharaohsHouse.com subscribers for your subscriptions and for your patience while we perfect the website for everyone. Pharaoh's House Podisode is the sole property of PharaohsHouse.com. All third-party copyrights revert to their original owners. To inquire about syndication or sponsorship, please visit our website at PharaohsHouse.com. Thank you.